svayam rupa kada mayam dadati svapadantikam. Vande aham sri guruho sri yutapakat padakamalan sri gurun vaishnavamsha sri rupam sagrajatam sahagana raghunathan yutam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadhutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam sri radha krishna padan sahagana lalita sri vishakhan vitamscha. He krishna karuna sindhu dinabandhu jagatpate gopesha gopika kanta radha kanta namostate tapta kanchana gaurangi radhe vrindavaneshwari Prashabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Ancha Kalpa Taruhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Harir Nama Harir Nama Harir Nama Iva Kevalam Kalau Nasteiva 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 Gatiranyata Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratmushainama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Hari Om, Hari Hari, Gaura Hari, Hari Hari. I would like to thank the organizers of these weekly seminars for giving me the opportunity to be all of you assembled students. Will this go on? What is going on in the back? Any way to stop it or postpone it? So I'm very happy, and you are happy. I'm happy to see you. I'm happy to be with you. The youths I also feel being young in your presence. I hope you don't feel being old in my presence. But in fact, this being young and old is just some kind of illusion, not a reality or mundane reality. As spirit souls, which you all are, and I am also yet another spirit, I think we are all of the same age. So this young and old, it's not that important. together here every Sunday? Haribo, Haribo. Each, all of you come? And then there's different topics are discussed. And today we also have a topic, the glory of Vedic India. Glory of which India? Yeah, you should underline this Vedic India part of that title. We are not so proud of the modern India as we are proud of the ancient India or the Vedic India. And of course, by knowing what was Vedic India like, the glorious Vedic India, then we would then work on reviving that, those times, the good old days, the good best days of the Vedic times. That would give us homework. That would give us something that we look forward to again, experiencing those glorious days of the past. So what was the past? We'd like to have that as also as what? The future. Present day India is kind of mixed up. Khichdi. We lost our identity, our culture, the glory, as coming on my face. You could see me? At least for some more time. But I think more important is hearing than seeing. Or the seeing could be done with the help of the ears. You see with the ears. This is the process of Krishna consciousness. We see the Lord with the help of the ears. We hear and we see. With our eyes we do not see much. Shabda Praman, the words, Shabda Praman, authority are the words, words of Vedas, words of wisdom. So we hear and we see. So when you also go to see Sadhu, you do not go to see how he looks like, how big belly he has, the length of his beard, or that's not darshan of sadhu. To hear sadhu, that is darshan of sadhu. To hear him speak, then you judge him also by that, by the quality of his speech, not color of his skin, or how thin, or how slim, or how fat, or whatever. That's not how. What do you go and see? You hear. prophetic India. The glories of Vedic India. Ancient India. In fact, there's also another glorious thing. Now, the Bharat is translated as India. Huh? Bharat in Hindi, in Sanskrit, you say Bharat, and in English you say India. But this is not so accurate. Because Bharat, when we say Bharat of the Vedic times, the Bharat was all over the planet. The map of Bharat was inclusive of all the countries on the planet. That was Bharat. The verses, the present day, only that size Bharat. You see the difference? A vast difference. The Bharat was everywhere. Now Bharat is kind of more shrunk and more limited. The glory of, we should have said, of Bharat. Bharat ka gaurav. Bharat gaurav. So when we say Vedic India, we talk of the times when Vedas were prominent. The Vedas. We talk of Dwapar Yug, we talk of Treta Yug, we talk of Satya Yug. And then we talk of the previous cycle of Satya, Treta, Dwapar, Kali, and then there was another cycle, and another cycle, and another cycle. And when thousand cycles like this of the four ages, that makes just the 12 hours of Brahma. And then 12 hours you add, and that is 24 hours, one day, one night. So these kind of calculations were known, are known, well, they're still known in Vedic India or the ancient Bharat. The verses, now there's so world has existed for long, long time. It's not. So that's a glorious. So that's a glorious. Good old days, the Vedic times, the Vedas and the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavata and Bhagavat and Puranas were prominent, were dominant. And whole world was united as a result. Whole world was just one family. These are the teachings of that glorious India. Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam. You have heard this term? You have heard this? Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam. E Vishvachimaje Ghara. You heard that also? Okay. Vishwachi Majhi Kara. These are the Vedic . So glory of India is also, as we just said, the time factor that Bharatvarsha dealt with. So many cycles of these four ages and the thousand cycles, and then just 12 hours of Brahma, and then 1 week of Brahma, then 1 month of Brahma, 1 year of Brahma, and 100 years of Brahma, whole lifetime of Brahma. And this was all common knowledge, what I'm presenting this. Everyone knew this. All people on this planet, they knew this. This was just, everyone knew all that I'm talking. Nothing mysterious or hidden. Everyone, this is common knowledge. In the ancient Vedic times, I think, could I use this? I was shown some presentation on this topic of the glory of Vedic India. Maybe I could use some of the PowerPoints. So the glory of India we lost, or it was beginning of the end, as with the advent of this age of Kali. Kali Yuga started 5,108 years ago. I may be asking you questions also later on. But you may be. I think you are for sure going to ask me questions. But I may also ask you some questions. I may ask you, how old is the age of Kali? How old? Very well. Is it easier than an age? So, why do I say so? So, those many years ago, Krishna departed. He returned to his own abode. Tad dinat kalirayataha. From that day was the beginning of the Kali Yuga. Sarva sadhana badhakaha. And it becomes a badha, obstacle, for all the practitioners of God consciousness, Krishna consciousness. This world, Kali, started posing stumbling blocks. And this broad idea, the Vedic idea, that the whole world is my family, Vasudeva Kutumbakam, this started disintegrating, deterioration started. The world started shrinking and countries started splitting. And being together, staying together, was considered too tough or too austere. And so becoming independent in so many possible ways, including not even wanting to share the same religion. Different religions came into existence. Different bodies of knowledge sprung up. And different nations and different flags and different isms and thoughts and concepts and ideas prevailing all over. And this was all deviation, all speculation, distancing from that Vedic India or the Gauravan with Bharat, the glorious Bharat. am nijaha. This is a glorious thought. I am nijaha paro vetti ganana laghuchitasa. Oh, these are my people. People started thinking. With the advent of Kali, people started thinking. Oh, these are my people. These are some outsiders. Them and us was split into two or many. Ganana. So thoughts like this, according to the glorious Indian thought, is ganana laghuchetasam. Laghu. Small, narrow, shallow. Chetasam, thought. Versus the broad-minded. Udara charita nam tu vasudhaiva kutumbakam. Those who are broad-minded, magnanimous, charitable. In their mind, the whole world is, they could include. The whole world is their family. So this thought in itself is a glorious, that whole world is my family. This is at the root. This is how the glorious ancient Vedic culture unites the humanity at large. And the thoughts of the glorious India, oh, let everyone be happy. Sarve sukhina bhavantu. This is the thought. Who could think in what continent, country, or even religion, the thought, let everyone be happy. Sarve sukhina bhavantu. Sarvani bhadrani pashantu. Na kvachit dukh bhag bhavet. Let no one suffer. Let everyone experience auspiciousness. This is a glorious ancient Vedic thought. If we revive thought like this, if we propagate thought like this, you think the world would be better place for us to be happy and like one family spirit? Think that would make a change, would make some difference? Yes, no? Some are for yes. Some are others very strong yes. Columbus was attracted to India's wealth and was looking for route to India. When he discovered the America continent by mistake, and he had heard India's very rich country. I just came across the latest Time magazine. You heard of Time magazine? And it's a photograph of Marco Polo. He was Italian some 800 years ago. From Europe, he started coming eastward. He was traveling by boat, and he went all over. Shows how he traveled, starting from here, some European countries, some Arabic countries, coming to India, Gujarat, and near Pune, and then Lanka down south, and Indonesia, and China. So when this traveler, he was amazed to see the wealth and material riches of India. When he went back, he said, you know, the gold is just dripping down from there's gold leafing everywhere, the arches everywhere, the jewels everywhere, the stones everywhere. And the culture and the food and the clothing and the music and the language and whatnot. The glory. Even 800 years ago, things were different from what it is now, even with India. So he went back and he made a big propaganda of what he had seen and experienced. He wrote many, many books, and they became very popular. And all over European countries, they were studying his books. They became some kind of authority. People had not been traveling, and he traveled. So from his travels, a lot of people gathered different ideas. Oh, I would like to go. Or we should go. We should conquer those countries. We should plunder those countries. They seem to be very rich countries, eastern countries, India, China. This. So with that idea, this Columbus fellow also started traveling. But he went the other way. And he ended up in America. People were going outwards, exploring with the idea of exploitation. And it was around the same time Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. He also appeared. He appeared in the East. And he was going to take people within their hearts. Introspection. While the Columbus and others gradually would join, they're trying to go out there to exploit, to gather information and then accumulate wealth and exploit. Go into the sky, go into the earth, go into the oceans with the idea of what? So that we could exploit, we could enjoy. We are Ishwar, the Ishwaro Aham. While the Vedic culture is teaching Daso, Daso, Dasosmi. I'm just a servant, I'm just a menial servant of the Lord. So the glorious Vedic days, times versus then the Western culture, the Western times, and the tussle kind of between the two, and competing with each other, the rivalry between the two, trying to dominate. That's on. So 500 years ago, while Columbus was touring around the planet, trying to take people this way, that way, exploit, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to take people to the Lord in their hearts. And then he also predicted, Prithavi de achejato nagaradi gram sarvatta prachar hoibe moruna. So in fact this will happen, as we said. Those good old days would be revived again. And that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's program. His holy name, this thoughts, this Vedic thought, this Gita, Bhagavad thoughts, these are the topmost thoughts. Simple living and, what do we say? High thinking. The highest thinking is the thoughts in the Bhagavatam, thoughts in Bhagavad Gita. existence comes close to the thought in Gita and Bhagavatam. No other scripture even could be compared. No other knowledge could be compared with the Vedic thoughts, the highest thinking. And living, what kind of living? Simple living. Simple living, high thinking, versus the West is teaching. What is West teaching? Columbus and company, or Darwin and company, and this fellow and that fellow and company, what are they teaching? High living and low thinking, no thinking. Low thinking means at least something. Low thinking. Just do it. What is the mantra? Just do it. If you feel good, go ahead. Do it. Don't even think. So high living and no thinking. As a result, the world is in very, very big trouble. Big trouble. As we try, we continue to explore and exploit. This is the motto. This is a demoniac nature and culture. That things are just becoming too tough on this planet. Unlivable. As a result of these attempts for global exploitation, even earthly planet is becoming warmer and warmer. You know, the earthly planet's temperature is rising, gradually rising. Global warming, probably you have heard. Global warming is one of the very big, a major challenge. So when you go away from that Vedic culture and the Vedic thought, when you are no more rooted in that Vedic culture, when you are disconnected, you go astray, you deviate, as big chunk of population on this planet, this is what has happened to them, then we end up in big, big trouble. It has been estimated, the total amount of treasure that British looted from India had already reached £1 billion. And when you add all the interest rates and all that, it comes to £1 trillion in terms of real terms of the day. So this traveler, he came and he returned, he informed everybody. It seems that they didn't know India, China, this 800,000 years ago. And then they started, yes, we should go. So different, the Dutch people started coming this way, the British started coming this way, and they exploited. Then Srila Prabhupada came. Srila Prabhupada went some 35, 40 years ago. And then one press reporter asked Prabhupada, "Hey, Swamiji, why have you come to our country?" And what was Prabhupada's response? He said, you also had come to our country. You know, it's fair. You came, I also come. It's a give and take. So you came and you looted our country. Prabhupada was very blunt. Whatever you thought was very valuable, you stole. But you know, with those attempts of your stealing or plundering our country and riches, you left the most valuable thing behind, brothers. And the correspondents were wondering, oh, what is that? What is that, Swamiji, that our British rulers, they left behind in India? And Prabhupada said, India's culture. The knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, chanting of the holy names of the Lord, this is our real wealth. And you had left that behind, so I have come to make a delivery. I have come to deliver those best goods, the export product. So they stole, and then Prabhupada went with the real wealth of India. India invented number system, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. This was ancient India's contribution. It went from India to Arabic countries and then to Europe. This is not always known, hence India doesn't get all the credit that India, ancient India, deserves. Aryabhatta was the first one to explain the spherical shape, size, diameter, rotation, and correct speed of the earth before anyone else on the planet did this. Aryabhatta. Even at the time this person traveled, and then later on Columbus also traveled, they did not know the earth was spherical or round in shape. They were thinking earth is flat. And that is why they were afraid of traveling longer distances, because they were thinking if the earth is flat and then we come to the end, and what would happen? We may be dropped. And who knows? And where do we go? So much ignorance. They did not know. While this Aryabhatta, he knew with the help of all the Vedic knowledge, the body of Vedic knowledge. There was Nalanda and Takshashila. You heard of those names? For leading Vidyapeeths, universities on the planet. And the students would come from all over the planet to get their degrees. Oh, do you have degree from Nalanda? Yes, then you are somebody. Oh, what about, are you have degree from Takshashila? Yes, yes, I do. I have returned. Here's my degree. Oh, then you are somebody. Then that person was considered knowledgeable or somebody who is a valuable person, credible person. Not other way around. Now we are going. Forget those Vedas and forget the Vedic culture and forget. Let's go to Miami. Let's go to America. Let's go to Europe. Let's get our degrees from there and then get a better job or get a things are just upside down. While the whole knowledge has origin, the advanced mathematics has origin in India. Siddhant. The distance between Earth and the Moon, calculated with the help of the body of the Vedic knowledge. And this Bhaskaracharya, he measured the diameter of the Earth 7,926.7 miles, compared to 7,840 miles. Pretty close. The Western scientists calculated, but this Aryabhatta had calculated long time ago. Algebra, trigonometry, calculus came from India. In fact, I have a book called Wonder That Was Sanskrit, Sanskrit language. Wonder That Was Sanskrit language. And I saw some mantras, the slokas, sloka after sloka, many slokas, teaching or describing the algebra, the mathematics, the ganit. Because everything was taught in Sanskrit. And now we are learning mostly in English, something Hindi, some Marathi. But there were times everything was taught. All communication was in Sanskrit. So whether studying Ayurveda or Dhanurveda or any kind of knowledge, Lord Sri Krishna, when he was a brahmachari, Brahmachari Gurukule Vasandanto Gurorhitam, he went to Ujjain, the present-day Ujjain. It was known as Avantipur 5,000 years ago. And Sandipani Muni was the he was the teacher, he was the professor. And he taught 64 different branches of knowledge to Krishna and Balaram, also to Sudama. Students were studying from all over India. There are 64. Like you go to the university, there are different branches, different departments, this department, that department. Lord Krishna learned 64 branches, faculties of knowledge. And this was all, of course, taught in Sanskrit. The rishis, munis would teach everything. They would teach brahmanas, they would teach kshatriyas, they would teach vaishyas. Vaishya's business is krishi, goraksha, vanijya. This was taught by the brahmanas and rishis. The farming and agriculture and animal husbandry and trading for the Vaishyas. For Kshatriyas, Dronacharya was teaching. This morning we're studying in the Bhagavatam how he taught it to Arjuna and Duryodhana also, the archery. And how to govern, how to rule the country, how to look after the administration. This was all taught by the brahmanas and the whole brahminical culture. This Sthapatya Shastra, the building, the architect. You go to South India, you will find some buildings. How many of you have been to South India? South India is a little different India, in fact. It's kind of some ancient India, south as you go. Because the invaders coming into India, they came from the north and they came up to kind of central India, and then Shivaji Maharaj ki, some Maharajas, Marathas, and then they stopped, they checked the progress of those invaders and protected at least the southern part of India. And of years old temples, thousands of years old, all over Tamil Nadu, Kerala, Karnataka, more in Tamil Nadu, some in Andhra Pradesh. But those temples, they were all over, in north, all over they were, those kind of temples. Because invaders came and they destroyed. I was just in Alibag yesterday and we visited the fort in the middle of the ocean, some distance from the beach, for protection. Shivaji's time, Angray. He built that. And we saw only sign was there, Vishnu Mandir, and some walls were there, and everything else dismantled, destroyed. So that kind of destruction took place, has taken place all over North India. But on the same little island, small island, Kulab, I'm talking, Alibaba. As we were there, there was a well. In the middle of the ocean, there's a well and there's sweet water. Ocean is all around, and a little island, small. It's only fort there, and there's a well, sweet water. This is wonderful, Krishna, wonderful creation of the Lord. God could do such things. So that architect and design of Sri Rangam temple and other temples with big stones, it's amazing how they must have lifted 10-story tall gopurams and kind of design architect. Was much more advanced Sthapatya Shastra of the ancient days. In every way, every possible way, Ayurveda versus what kind of medicine you get otherwise? Ayurveda, homeopath, allopath. Allopathic. And you know the difference. The world is now gradually realizing the difference, the value of the Ayurveda. It may be a little slow, but steady, for sure. It will cure the disease, will go to the root of the problem. Different herbs, leaves could be used. Just some time ago, two American, I don't know, they call them scientists or some kind of, they're doing research, and then they studied the haldi, the turmeric, and then they proved how the turmeric powder is, it has so many properties, could use, put it on the, there's a wound and it recovers and like that, or it has a food value, it has a medicinal value. And these two fellows, they got big award. And then they said, hey, some kind of patent is some technical arrangement called patent. They means no one else now would get the credit for, They get the credit for discovery. And then when India government found out this was all going on in America, oh, they know. Come on. Every housewife in India knows all about this haldi and mirch, or just haldi is just one of the things. For thousands of years they knew this. And now you have found out and you are trying to get the credit, and now we are making all the claim, yes, we are the only one, first ones. All the housewives should be given a reward. Huh? They all know this. it is the earliest medicine known to the humans. Charak, the father of medicine, consolidated Ayurveda 2500 years ago. And you may be aware, not aware, there's a big demand for Ayurveda now all over the world. In this one also, Natural Healing, this Times Magazine, Natural Healing says, will India succeed in bringing its ancient Ayurvedic plant medicines into the modern world? This Aryan Baker is kind of challenging, encouraging India, please do so, please do so. Your ancient Ayurveda is the most valuable thing, is beneficial for the whole world. Bring it, make some more progress, communicate, propagate this. And today Ayurveda is fast regaining its rightful place in civilization. As you know, the yoga also is becoming very popular. I was just in France 2 weeks ago, and there was some presentation, and one devotee, in fact, Chandramouli Swami Maharaj, you know Chandramouli Maharaj, he was saying how 35 million Americans are practicing some kind of yoga these days. So that's a big number. Of course, they're not following bhakti yoga as of yet. Well, at least some yoga, yogic exercises, and some pranayama, and some asanas. And so they have opened up after the 9/11. There's a big blow to their pride. So they are waking up and warming up to the ancient ideas, the Eastern ideas. Education, India has always remained a leading nation. And this knowledge, as an Indian, the Vedic knowledge was on all the continents, in all the countries, what was being taught one time. This kind of goes up and down, but now it seems that it's not available everywhere. But a Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction comes true, and again everywhere. As already you know, this year's Janmashtami was celebrated by ISKCON devotees in 160 countries. Something that was started only 41 years ago. In 41 years ago, in 65, there was just one Prabhupada. It was just by himself. And now his followers are all over the planet. And once they become followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prabhupada, and they study Gita and Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, they speak same as I do, with similar conviction that I have. And of course, Prabhupada was dead serious, and all the acharyas had full faith. They never believed that one day, or the amoeba was the first one. They knew the Brahma was the first one. Not just one cell's being, amoeba, was the first one. No, the Brahma, the full-fledged human being, more than full-fledged, he had four heads. Not just one, he had four heads. He was the first one to be born. So there was never ever in the history of the Vaishnavism or the strict followers of Sanatana Dharma or Bhagavad Dharma, they never believed in this amoeba business or or this Darwin's theory of evolution. They had kicked this out. They had no room in their heart or head for this rubbish proposition. While the world spent so much time and energy studying this idea, and now gradually realize, oh, it seems it doesn't make sense. And there's another proposal now, it's called intelligent design. You heard of that? Something called intelligent design is like another alternative, which we kind of agree with more, with the intelligent design, meaning there is intelligent designer behind this creation. And they do not say that is God or Krishna, not yet. That would be the next and the next. Gradually they come. Gradually they will come back to the original thought. Mayadhyakshena prakrati suyate sa chara chara, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. And there's no change with this. Aham sarvasya prabhavaha mattaha sarvam pravartate. Bas. You need not waste your time. You don't have to speculate. You know, Krishna says, God says, Aham sarvasya prabhavaha. I'm the source of all that being. The whole world, the worlds are coming from me. I'm the source. I am adhyakshena prakriti suya. I am superintendent. But then this, again and maybe now, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 700 years ago, this science gradually started becoming prominent, and scientists and the rationalism, you sentimental religionists, you just believe, you are blind followers, you show me. In order to prove something, you had to show something that we could touch and smell. And so the kind of population divided into, these are religious people, religionists, these are scientists and religionists, and they deal with the matter, they deal with the life or the spirit. But we could certainly, following Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, following Tukaram Maharaj, Madhvacharya, these are nice, gentle, pure-hearted souls. Why should anyone doubt when they speak with a conviction, their realizations, which coincide with what Shastras say? Following them is not a blind following. If someone has eyes, he has a vision, he is seeing, then you could follow him. That following is not a blind following. Follow the right people. Follow Prabhupada, follow Bhakti Siddhanta, follow all these great acharyas. Only well-wishers of humanity at large. So, the synthesis, ISKCON has BI, the Bhaktivedanta Academy, Bhaktivedanta Institute for what? Bhaktivedanta Institute, right, BI, Bhaktivedanta Institute. What time we go up until this time is kind of up, over the time for questions, or what's that? Time for questions? No. So maybe I will just take a few more minutes. I think let's see what else is on the screen here. Yeah, we mentioned the universities, and they are built in the 4th century. This Nalanda. And the Sanskrit language there is no language as complete, as refined as Sanskrit. Do you know, have you heard, read by now, the best language even for the computerization, for computers, what is the best language for the computers? Sanskrit, you did not know. Sanskrit, this has, when the Westerners tell us, then, oh yeah, must be. This is opinion.